This fall, during the return of Police Files Mario Squad.
A snore. No!
Mario, you let me die. You did it to save me.
No! Oh, what a nightmare!
Mario, what's wrong? Are you still recovering from the de-roboting surgery?
No, it's just I'm tired of killing. It's time for a new career.
Damn it, Mario! You just walked into my office. That's it! You're off the force!
You can't fire me! I quit!
You a what?
I'm gonna be a doctor! A Dr. Mario!
No!
In a world where every TV show involves cops, doctors, or lawyers...
Give me a job!
Well, your resume says you're a plumber-turned-cop, so I don't see why we can't let you practice medicine.
Yippee! I get to throw pills in a jar!
A cop becomes a doctor. How creative.
Good news, honey. I'm a doctor now.
I knew my father was wrong about you.
Doctor, after my arm surgery, will I be able to play piano?
Of course you will.
Good, because I couldn't before.
But trouble is brewing on the horizon.
Here it is, Master. The new strain of super tuberculosis you requested. Dump it into the water supply.
Our top story tonight, an entire city has come down with consumption.
We're gonna lose him. Quick! Find a decolored pill for tuberculosis!
There isn't one, Doctor!
A fight, the damn you! Fight!
Damn it, Mario! That's the fifth patient you've lost this week!
What are you doing here?
I'm the new head of surgery! Your medical license is revoked!
On a good day, he's a great doctor!
You had to get a job as a veterinarian? I guess my father was right about you!
Somebody's got to pay the bills! You're a lazy ass, I sure don't!
On a bad day, he's the best there is!
And in other news, super tuberculosis has now killed off the entire state of Montana!
Damn it, nurse! We gotta contain this outbreak before it reaches civilization!
You shouldn't have fired Mario then!
But that's my job!
I'm going back to the hospital!
You can't save all those people!
Nobody else knows how to throw pills in a jar like I do!
But what happens when the jar gets full, Mario? You'll die! Or worse!
That's a chance I'm willing to take!
Don't miss the must-see spin-off series that we're saying everyone will be talking about the next day at work.
You can't stop the plague, Mario. There is no antidote.
I am the antidote.
Dr. Mario, MD.
3,000 more patients? I'm getting too old for this shit.
Maybe you should get off of the force.
I can't.
Coming this fall to TNT, they know drama and Law and Order reruns.
Hello, and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 32, I think. I'm your host, Ben Heckendorn, not Ben Heck, Ben Heckendorn.
And I am Truth.
You know? When I got my Ben Heck domain, I mean, granted, it caused my name to become Ben Heck.
Yes.
Come on, a seven-letter domain with a .com? How could I say no?
Maybe I should come up with one that's truth.com, and then people can just call me Truth.
Isn't that website that tells you to stop smoking? You ever see those ads?
Yeah.
They got it as truth.com.
Aw, damn it.
They had an ad in front of some movie, I can't remember which one it was, but all these people were like dead in the streets or whatever. It's like smoking kills 1,200 people a day, and then they have these people dead in the streets. And yeah. So sorry, you don't get it. You don't get truth.com.
Damn it. Maybe I could be I am truth then. I am truthandrewryan.com.
Let me see if it's available. Hold on. www.i. Oh, wait. Okay. I am truthandrewryan.com.
I could always throw antidote on there too if I needed.
No, I think you can get it.
I don't know if it's as catchy though.
Let's see if I am truth is available.
I bet somebody snatched that. They had to have.
Oh, no.
Yep, somebody registered it.
It probably was Keith David or Terrence Stamp.
Damn it, my dreams just went down in flames.
Okay, well, as our regular listeners, all five of you, and we're not sure whether or not our podcast subscriptions work. We were kind of talking about that today, but who cares?
Since you can't see the stats for some reason. You got to talk to George about that, man.
Oh, well. I'm sure people listen. I mean, I get some email about it. Anyway, as some of our regular listeners may know, we've actually kind of had our podcast episodes planned out ahead of time for a while now. And after the Mysteries of the Unexplained podcast, we decided to do a podcast where we had absolutely no topics whatsoever and just rambled for an hour. So that's today.
Yes. Since people seem to like them when we're more free-form anyways, so what the hell?
Yes, because we have such a rigid structure normally.
Yes.
But we'll start out with talking about news and games we've been playing, of course. So why don't we get into that?
Sure.
So what games have you been playing, Jones? I ask as if I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I got Guitar Hero 3 last Sunday.
So you got in there?
Yes, or whatever Sunday that was. Was that? Well, I guess it was a week ago yesterday.
Yeah,
now
because
then you and Mike came over the other
yep,
night.
Yep, and Call of Duty came out this Sunday, right?
Nope, comes out tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
But, yes, so I went and got Guitar Hero 3, and I decided to get it with the new guitar and everything, so that way we'd have two of them, and... It's actually pretty cool.
I thought you had two guitars.
Nope, I only had one, because remember that time we had to have Curie bring hers so we could play co-op?
Oh, yeah, but, man, yes. I completely forgot that you... Okay.
See, when you're truth, you remember these things.
I just figured you would have had two guitars, I mean, because you're all about the Xbox peripherals.
That's right.
You're like, sell me all the peripherals, because I am truth.
I will be your cash cow. But, yeah, the new guitar, like, kicks ass compared to the old one, I think. It's not nearly as clickety-clackety, I guess, and it just feels a lot more solidly constructed and a lot
better built.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, the clicking guitars were kind of loud. It made it sound more like Relay Hero.
Yeah.
It's like, what, they got an ENIAC running in there?
Yeah, then they added the online play, which I did get to play an online match with somebody the other day, and it worked really well. It was just like the person was in the room playing. There wasn't any lag or anything, which was nice. And you know, basically, if you like Guitar Hero 2, I think you're probably going to like Guitar Hero 3, because it's pretty damn near the same game, just different songs, and they added online. And those are pretty much the main things.
But. So you didn't notice any difference because it changed developers?
Not really. The only thing I noticed, and it's kind of annoying, hopefully they fix it with some sort of patch or something, is when you deploy star power, which people who have played Guitar Hero will know what that means. Other people are going to be like, what the hell is that? But when you deploy star power in the game, sometimes it'll kind of like lurch on the screen. I don't know if you noticed that when you were playing it the other night, but it's kind of weird. It's like there's this delay, and it'll kind of chug a little bit at first, like it has to catch up with the fretboard that's going by, and then it works fine. It doesn't do it every time, but it does it, you know, probably almost 50% of the time, actually.
So it does it 100% of the time, 50% of the time?
No, just 50% of the time. But, yeah. So that's about the only gripe I have against it.
Yeah, I'm not a Guitar Hero connoisseur like you, but I didn't really notice any difference.
Yeah.
Less of a difference than I would have expected to notice, you know, considering Switch publishers. I mean, if you look at some of these franchises like Medal of Honor, you know, once 2015, you know, became Infinity Ward or whatever and left, and then the EA started making their in-house Medal of Honors, there was definitely a difference. You know, people stopped buying them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But well, there's one for you. Call of Duty 2 to Call of Duty 3, did you notice a difference with that?
I was just going to say that is one where I've noticed a difference. I didn't think Call of Duty 3 was a bad game, but it wasn't as good as 2, for sure.
That was Treyarch, wasn't it?
Yeah. It just didn't, the levels design didn't seem to be quite on the same level as it was in the second one, I thought. Like, they didn't flow as logically, and it just wasn't quite as intense of an experience as the third. But the online was way better than the third one, because the online in the second one was pretty much worthless. So,
well, it was a launch title. What can you say? Anything else you've been playing?
Well, I played that Civil War game. I got that from Gamefly. It's basically like kind of a not-so-hot Call of Duty.
Is that one of those History Channel ones?
Yeah. It's worth a playthrough one time, but wasn't the greatest thing on earth.
Does it take you 30 seconds to reload your rifle?
Takes a while, actually, yeah. It seemed like it was probably pretty accurate, that stuff. Like, There's some spots where you got, like, muskets and stuff, and your guy's, like, sitting there, and you can see the little animation where your guy's, like, unscrewing the thing and then pouring the powder in and doing this crap, and it's like, God damn it, shoot that guy! You get too spoiled by these shooters nowadays, you know, where it's like a couple-second reload and you're back rocking. But, yeah. Oh, I did finally play Team Fortress 2 Saturday night.
What did you think of it?
I liked it a lot when it wasn't lagging and turning into slideshow of the game a la Crysis on your PC.
No, we should talk about
which
that.
Which you should touch on, but yeah, I thought it was a blast to play that game. Probably, I was actually online until about 3 o'clock Sunday morning, and I actually saw the daylight savings change happen on the 360 while I was playing. Because it was like 158 at one point, and then we played another match. I went and looked again, and then it was like 110. And I was like, wait a minute. And I'm like, oh shit, daylight savings time. Well, obviously I could play another hour then. And
wasn't that usually in October? I mean, that kind of caught me off guard, too.
They moved it back a week. It was part of that whole change where they moved it up 2 weeks in the beginning of the year, and they moved it back a week later in the year. Because usually it was the weekend before Halloween, where now it happened the weekend after. But, yeah, I liked Team Fortress 2 a lot. I think I was kind of talking about it with some of the guys I was playing with, and they were saying that they suspect it has to do with the fact that people can jump in and drop out of the matches while they're going on, and that might have a problem with it, because you'll be, like, in a match, everything's going good, and then all of a sudden it's like, just freaking slides going across the screen, and then eventually it'll kind of catch up again and start behaving properly, so... It'd be nice if you could just close the match and say, you know what, match has started, people can't join anymore if you wanted to. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun otherwise, though, I'd say.
I haven't played it very much online, but I've got all winter.
Because depending on what character you take, you play the game entirely differently. Like, there's some guys that are defensive characters, like the guy that's basically hauling around a Gatling gun.
Oh, the heavy guy?
Yeah, he's, like, slower than snot, but you basically prop him up at a capture point and just unload on anybody that's coming in. And then you got, like, your medic guy, where you basically run around and just keep trying to recharge all your dudes. And
someone described it as being kind of a rock, paper, scissors game. I think that's kind of a good description, actually. What do you think?
Yeah, I could see that. Because it's basically like you just, whatever dude you are, you have to totally play it, you know, a certain way or whatever. And you can't just turn into a hero if you're using the sniper or whatever and charge in after people. So
a guitar hero?
Doesn't work really well. But the medic guy's got kind of a cool gun where I think he shoots out little syringe things almost.
Is it effective to kill people with?
Yeah, I actually was mowing down quite a few people with it.
Really? I'll have to play that some more. I probably only played about an hour since I got the orange box.
Then there's like a scout dude that runs like super fast. He's like an offensive character and he can double jump and all that stuff.
Are you telling me or the audience this?
Everybody.
Okay.
Why not? I'm talking into a mic, aren't I?
Oh, I guess that's true.
Hey, this is Ramblisode, goddammit. So
I'm sorry!
Like people are just, like, falling in on this conversation. So.
Ramblisode.
But, so you can do that. So if you want to go and just take capture points and stuff, that's pretty much the dude to use. And he has a shotgun and all that. So
and he can double jump.
Yep, which is a good time.
I had decent luck with that guy.
Yeah, he was one of my better... Like, him and the medic, it seemed like I did the best with.
You'll have to play that again.
Good times.
Well, let's see. What have I been playing? I played some Oblivion last night. I haven't played that in a while.
Yeah, I noticed you.
I'm never going to give that back to you. Well,
damn,
I was going
you.
To, but... Wait, you can probably get it for $30 now, I'm sure.
That's right. Or you can buy the Game of the Year edition for $60 and get everything.
It's a pretty awesome game.
Yes, it is.
And then I've been playing Halo, and then... Oh, yes, I downloaded the Crysis demo.
You mean as, slideshow
as
of the
I
game?
Like to call it, Jesus Crisis! I had, when Far Cry came out, which was 3 years ago in the spring, so about 3.5 years ago, that game was supposed to be a system killer, right?
Yeah.
And at the time, I had Athlon 1700 computer, which is like a 1.5 gig computer. Maybe a gig of RAM, might have only been 512 at the time. And like a $100 Walmart video card. I think it was probably like a GeForce 5200. Piece of shit. It ran it fine.
Yeah.
Now, Crysis, I have a really good DX10 card, and the rest of my computer's awesome. Yeah, it runs like shit. I mean, seriously, I didn't get a good frame rate unless I was like all set to low, and then it wasn't even really that great.
You sure there isn't something you gotta like tweak on your video card?
I downloaded
something?
The newest drivers, because whenever one of those games come out, like BioShock, it's like NVIDIA drivers just updated for BioShock.
Yeah.
They had them for Crysis as well. That didn't help at all.
So there's no like little setting. I thought on BioShock there was something you found out where you had to go in and tweak some little setting.
Don't wait for vertical sync.
Yeah, something like that.
I couldn't run BioShock all the way up in the resolution. I mean, I couldn't run it at what I would call a good frame rate, but like 1280 by 720, kind of like an Xbox frame rate, it ran fine. Yeah. Everything all the way up.
Not Crysis though.
Ugh. So there's $60 I save.
Yep, now you can buy Call of Duty or put it towards Rock Band or something.
I bet Call of Duty will run like butter.
Do they have a demo? Actually, they do. Well, they had a beta for Call of Duty on the PC.
I think the demo is out.
Yeah.
Or
maybe it was a demo, not a beta. Because they had the beta on the 360. Then I know, like, a few weeks back or something, they announced something for the PC, whether it was a demo or a beta, I'm not sure. But probably a demo, since it was that close to launch or whatever. But
you know, I'm all for games, you know, looking cool and stuff, but there's really no excuse for Crysis. I mean, I really didn't expect it would be that bad.
Yeah.
It, you know, it doesn't even look all that great either.
Yeah. I saw some screenshots online, and I was like, yeah, I guess the sky looks cool and all that, but, you know, I don't know. I didn't think the character models looked that great from
the shots I saw.
You don't
even put bullet holes in half the thing you shoot. I mean, that's unforgivable. How is it in 1997 in GoldenEye, you could run around shooting holes in anything, blowing up lamps and chairs, because chairs and lamps blow up, but all
obviously.
The stuff is destroyable. Perfect Dark, you can shoot out light bulbs. Now it's the year 2007. We have, you know, these super frickin' high-end video game consoles and computers, and you can't shoot out a fucking light bulb. What does the world come to? I'm
you
sorry,
can
that
in
kind
some
of stuff
games,
just pisses
though.
Me off. What?
You can in some games, though, like not Lost Planet and The Darkness.
Oh, there was some game where I shot out a light bulb. What was that? Oh, it was Crackdown.
Crackdown, you can, yep.
That game's pretty cool.
And then, yeah, like in The Darkness, you have to shoot them out. That's like a strong gameplay element because you
need the darkness.
You have to be in the dark for your darkness powers to recharge or whatever. And Lost Planet, like, there's certain maps in the multiplayer where you can shoot, like, sprinklers and stuff like that, and water will start pouring out of them, and it's pretty cool stuff. So not everybody has cast that aside.
Well, actually, I pulled it out. I can lend you that Stranglehold game, but...
And Rainbow Six, you could do that, too.
Stranglehold, you could destroy everything. And it ran fine!
Yeah. Shocking.
And awing. So, gaming news.
Is there any? Other than the 360's ridiculously high game attach rate?
Is that like a record now, or what?
Yeah, I think so. It's like 6.5 or something, where I thought like the PS2 or something was the old top one at like 4.8.
Man, I wonder if I have 6.5 games. Well,
you have Lost Planet and Crackdown and Stranglehold.
And Halo.
Halo.
Probably have like 4 or 5.
Oh, and you got the outfit, so that's 5.
Oh, well, yeah, it was a cheapie.
Yeah.
But yeah!
But yeah, it was interesting because they had sales data. It was like on Joystick from that NPD group or whatever, and it was basically, what was it, the 360 has as many game sale. It has like more... God, I can't remember for sure. It was like a week ago when I looked
at
it.
Oh, wait, didn't you say it's...
Wasn't it like double what the other two have combined for game sales?
It was...
I think it was.
Quite a difference.
Yeah, it was counting like Wii Play... Wii Sports, I don't think, was included because it comes with the system. I mean, it'd be like including Hexic HD in the 360 sales then.
Oh, yeah.
So, but they did say that they included Wii Play in that. But yeah, that's what it was. It was double... Because I think the Wii has sold like 15-some million games so far, and the PS3 has sold about 6 million or something like that, then the 360 sold like 45 million games so far.
You know, compared to the install base of the system, that's pretty bad for the other systems.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not trying to sound like, well, wait, we are Microsoft fanboys. But...
But hey, numbers don't lie, so...
Neither do hips. I was ready with that one. At least Shakira's hips don't lie.
Well, yeah. I mean, how could they?
I don't know. Makes me want to speak Spanish. But... Elijah Dusku!
Yes. Well, and what was it? It was, yeah, it was the total number of PS3 games equaled the number of consoles that the 360 has sold, like, domestically or whatever. It was the number of games for the PS3 is the same as the number of consoles that Microsoft has sold, which was kind of staggering, I thought.
Well, I think that's good because, you know, developers will develop games with a console that makes the money, which is the 360.
Yeah.
I think they've already seen... I've started to notice it in the mass media and the gaming.
Yeah.
Like, people are starting to realize the Wii's a fad.
Starting to turn on it a bit.
Not saying that it's might be a fad, that it is a fad, because it is. I don't care what anyone says.
That's
a year
right.
from now, everyone's going to be like, wow, Ben and Jones
are
really
smart.
And we're
holding the line.
Hold the line! Remember the other night? On my signal, unleash star power! They say no!
Oh, Guitar Hero co-op.
That was pretty funny. Unleash star power. You sold me queer giraffes.
Yes! Proximo.
That movie's not too bad.
Oh, no.
It's overrated, but...
I think it's actually becoming underrated anymore, though. It's kind of like going through that whole Titanic thing where, you know, everybody gushed over it at first, and now it's kind of getting a bit of a backlash. Because, like, now everybody hates Titanic. Weren't you saying that, like, BAFTA voted that, like, the worst movie ever made along with AI or
something like that? I seem to remember
that.
Don't quote me on
that,
but I think they did.
You know,
that's why I told you not to be too upset if... Well, never mind.
But
sorry, BAFTA.
Yeah.
And any of my fans in England.
Yes. But yeah, that was pretty absurd. So, it's like, haven't they seen, what was it? Oh, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, or Pirates of the Caribbean 2, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
Pretty much anything Hollywood puts out these days is worse than pretty much any Oscar-winning movie ever, so, yeah.
That's true. I mean, well, I look back at I like Gone with the Wind. I've only seen that once, but I didn't quite understand what the deal was.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it must have been a big deal at the time. Well, it was, because it... I guess if you inflation-adjusted its earnings, it would trounce everything, including Titanic, I guess.
What I think is stupid, maybe we could talk about this because we have no topics. Remember, folks, it's not that we couldn't think of any that we just decided not to.
Because that's just how we roll.
Exactly. I think it's kind of stupid, going back to Titanic. Hollywood...
back to Titanic,
yep,
nice.
It's time to go back to Titanic. Hollywood can spend, you know, $275 million on the two Pirates of the Caribbean sequels. They can spend $300 million on Spider-Man. They can spend $175 million on Speed 2. Yet, when James Cameron spends $200 million on a historical movie... Oh, no! We're doomed! Abandon ship! You know, the next time any pirate sequel or anything makes $600 million domestic and $2 billion worldwide, let me know. So, well,
yeah.
I mean, I have to say here that James Cameron is my favorite director, so I'm a little bit biased, but
yes.
I think that logic is pretty sound. Well, you know what he said? Back when, you know, they had, like, Entertainment Weekly, like, Titanic Watch, and everyone was, like, expecting him to be on, like, Skid Row after the movie was done. He's like, okay, so this movie has cost $200 million. It's like, for the same amount of money, you get... two or three Wesley Snipes and Steven Seagal movies that would have sucked anyway. And it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that B movie that just came out. I guess they spent like $150 million making it.
Oh,
$150 million promoting
that
it.
That much?
Yeah, it's not going to make that back.
Oh, my God.
Oh, but who cares? It's got Jerry Seinfeld in it. This is obviously a good idea.
It will once it hits DVD, probably. It'll end up making its money, but I was surprised that American Gangster movie beat it. That actually made like $46 million over the weekend. I was kind of shocked by that. I just, for whatever reason, I didn't think that movie would bring in that big of money, but...
Yeah, I think it was above expectations, but I think they did pretty much think it was going to be pretty successful. I guess it was tracking well.
Yeah. Well, it was the biggest debut for Denzel or Crow, I guess. So that means it even did better than, like, Gladiator and...
Unleash Gangsters!
And it beat B-movie, even, so...
Screw B-movie. I mean, only in Hollywood would they come up with a movie about a bee suing humans for honey.
Yeah.
I mean... Come the fuck on. Is that what kids want to see? Is a bee suing people?
Well, and from what I heard, you know, it's like, it's not even, like, none of the jokes in it are tailored towards children. It's like all pretty much adult jokes. So it's like now they've gone completely the other way. You know, it used to be the animated movies were pretty much just geared at kids. Then Shrek and stuff like that came along and they're like, okay, it's cool to throw some jokes in for the adults. Now apparently they've just gone... Oh, we're just going to make it for the adults now.
Well, that's the problem with that is, I mean, what was the last movie they made, Shark Tale or whatever?
Oh, God.
And they have a fish that looks like Martin Scorsese. They just do that for themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids don't give a fuck. They don't know who Martin Scorsese is. It's like filmmakers like jerking off over themselves. That's what it is. I guess I'll never get into Hollywood. Oh, well. But it's true. I mean, they need to realize that these movies are... In the end, the movies are being made for, like, you know, people in trailers that go to Walmart to buy a movie on discs to shut their kids up for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's who these movies are made for. These kids don't care if it's Jerry Seinfeld. All they care about is if the story's good or if it's fun to watch.
Yeah, if it's got some slapstick moments in it or whatever.
I guess we've just kind of segued right into the rambling, didn't we?
Yes.
Well, like, you know, the movie that was allegedly a big failure but actually ended up making a lot of money, Ratatouille.
Yeah.
I mean, look how much that's
done.
You know? Actually, it's done pretty well. It's been, like, the top foreign movie for, like, 3 weeks in a row now.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's actually outgrossed Cars worldwide.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But, yeah, when they have, like, all this bee stuff and all this adult humor, it's...
It's kind of stupid. It's like, you know what? It's okay for kids to have their own movies, too, you know?
Right, right.
Not that I'm opposed to there actually being, you know... decent movies for adults to watch, but I think we can make those with live-action actors in them and make something that appeals to me. Although they aren't doing very much of that these days, because there really isn't shit out there that I care about seeing at the moment. Although I will see There Will Be Blood by P.T. Anderson with Daniel Day-Lewis in it.
Wait, aren't you going to go see Tom's movie, the 95th movie this month about the Iraq War?
You know, I don't know. I love Tom and all that, but I just, you know, I don't know if I need to see that in the theater. Maybe a matinee, but kind of doubting it. I don't know. Maybe the Golden Compass, since supposedly it has a drunken polar bear in it. I mean, that's
well, why not?
That's worth my money right there.
Drunken polar bear.
You got James Bond and Nicole Kidman and a drunken polar bear. And Sam Elliott, too.
Oh, Sam Elliott's in it?
Oh, yeah.
He's probably like, here's your golden compass. You're a ghost rider now.
He's got like a flying boat or something in it, so what the hell? You can't go wrong with that.
Yes, anytime you put Sam Elliott in a movie, it's instant gold. Which is why Tombstone, which contains both Sam Elliott and Bill Paxton, is clearly one of the finest movies ever made behind Wimbledon.
Which contains neither of them. But it does have Sam Neill as a sympathetic father figure in the end.
I think we should explain. My big thing to do is tell everyone that Wimbledon is the best movie ever made.
Yeah, you probably should explain that.
Well, that's
I don't even fully understand it.
I don't know. I just like to do that to piss people off, I guess.
Well, that's good.
That's about it.
Nice.
I mean, it wasn't a bad movie. I mean,
no.
You know.
Unfairly shat upon.
It was all right.
It's like I actually liked how Sam Neill's character wasn't a complete ass in it. Like, he had kind of the token father figure who, of course, is not going to want his daughter be with this guy and, you know, just be the asshole and it actually doesn't turn out that way, which was kind of cool. I thought that was a nice little twist. So everybody run out and rent it. It's, you know, just
and Kristen
the film event of
kind
2 years
of actually
ago.
Played more, almost sort of like a normal woman, not magical pixie girl.
Yeah.
Like in Elizabethtown.
Yeah.
I could not get behind that movie.
I still enjoy it. I mean, it's a heavily flawed movie, but you got to go. You can't go wrong with Alec Baldwin, you know, talking about how he cries a lot lately. And
oh, and we've lost $1 billion.
Or he's like, yeah, $970 million. That's a number so big that you can actually round it off to $1 billion.
But the truth is, Team America works for the billion-dollar corporations.
Ack Baldwin.
You can't out-act me, boy. Don't even try. Yes, the Alec Baldwin Impression Podcast is brought to you by BenHack.com.
Alec Baldwin's gold.
Yeah, I guess he's pretty good. I think he kind of shot himself in the foot by turning down... See, he used to turn down all the movies and Harrison Ford took them,
would
you know, like The
them,
Fugitive.
Yeah.
Then Harrison Ford started turning down movies like The Sixth Sense.
Yeah,
and
Bruce Willis
was like, I'm going to get in there.
I'm going to make all the money.
You ever notice Bruce Willis talks like he's always having a bowel movement? Yeah. Kind of like, I am Truth.
Maybe he should have been Truth.
I'm sure people know what we're talking about with I am Truth, don't they?
I would hope. Anybody who's played through Halo 3 would know anyways.
I am Truth! And don't forget, where's the betrayal? Where's the betrayal? Because every video game has to have betrayal
That's
at the
right.
end. It's like, I wonder if this orb thing is going to betray us.
And then there's always two corpses in one grave. Oh my god, Bungie, you can make a hell of a game, but damn, you need some work on your storytelling.
Oh yeah? I'm a thief, but I keep what I steal.
Well, that's good.
Purple crotch! Oh, yes, whenever we play co-op, which seems to happen a lot.
Yes.
And we are
it is fun.
Purple crotch is what we call what's her
Cortana,
face.
Cortana,
whenever she shows up.
Oh,
oh no, it's purple crotch! Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
I did a poll on my site, actually. The poll running is
oh,
if Master Chief has a thing for Cortana.
Oh, yeah, he's hit that shit.
I think he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't think he's just got a thing for her. I think he's probably hit it at some
really?
Point.
Really? So how would he do that exactly?
Very carefully.
Maybe like that...
Virtual reality can be fun.
Probably shouldn't get into that. Maybe we'll find out in part four. I mean...
It'd be like those rooms in Minority Report towards the end, for anybody that's seen those, where he goes there to unlock...
Yeah, yeah.
The Samantha Morton's character or whatever, and that dude's got all these people in these rooms having these fantasy sequences go on. So that's how Master Chief and Cortana hook up. Just like that.
She's a thief, but she keeps what she steals.
Yes, which makes her honorable or something, I guess.
Speaking of Steven Spielberg...
And his godlike ways.
Yeah, except for that picture of him on the internet playing Wii. But
oh,
anyway...
God.
You ever see that one?
No.
I should send it to you. I saw it again the other day. I'm like, it's like, Spielberg, no! What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Remember when you used to make movies like Raiders of the Lost Ark? Anyway, I don't know where it was, but apparently there's actually going to be a trailer for Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Stupid title in theaters this fall.
Heaven.
And apparently, see, you know how I keep saying if they made it, if Raiders of the Lost Ark was made now, Spielberg would tack an extra 20 minutes on the end of it.
Yeah.
An hour and 50 minute long movie, that's too short.
Yes.
So the guy would push the Ark of the Covenant into the warehouse with all the boxes. Then he would, like, go over to the break room and have a cup of coffee. Then we'd see him go home. Then we'd see, like, Harrison Ford and Karen Allen, like, having that drink, you know, a drink.
Yeah.
And, you know, some other shit would happen for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess in the new movie, and I guess they show it in the trailer, they're actually going to go in there and pull the Ark of the Covenant out.
Well, hopefully they have a good reason for it.
No, there is no good reason for it.
You don't know. Maybe there is. Maybe Truth is in there.
No, that would be like Charlton Heston digging up the Statue of Liberty at the end of Planet of the Apes and rebuilding it. It's like, that's the end. You know, what's the point of putting it in that warehouse? if you're going to pull it out 19 years later.
Well, what's the point of putting it in the warehouse period, then?
Because it was, like, funny and ironic and government-like.
Yeah.
But then pulling it out, it's like, it pisses all over that. It's like...
Yeah, but they need to pull it out so they can, like, steal technology from it and, you know, make supercomputers and shit.
I don't know what it has to do
with... Like our whole alien thing. Because the aliens brought the Ark of the Covenant to us, of course, and so...
Well, I think that's kind of the premise of the Indiana Jones 4 movies. It's kind of the God is an alien kind of thing. I think they're actually... They're not saying it, but that's kind of the underlying
theme.
They're
dabbling in that realm.
Yeah, I mean, but still, they should leave it in there.
That frickin' movie.
You know, I bet there's... You know, like, the rainforest, you know how it's being destroyed? Probably about 20% of it is offers for Charter telephone, I'd say. And probably another at least 15% is like discarded Indiana Jones 4 scripts.
That could be.
Over the last 17 years.
Yeah. I wish they would have just kept discarding them. I know I've mentioned it before, but I don't care. I want my Lincoln movie, Spielberg. Don't dangle that shit in front of me and then not make it.
But
don't tell me you're going to put Liam Neeson in it, and then don't make it. Because Liam Neeson kicks ass.
They should have Gary Oldman as John Wilkes Booth.
Yes. I think you have to, really. That's who I would put in there as him. Age-wise, he might not match up, but who gives a shit? That way he could kill two presidents.
Or did he kill JFK?
Oh...
He'd be like...
He was just the patsy.
He'd be like, I'm gonna kill Mr. Lincoln. For some reason, I talk like Zorg. Oh, wow. We've just filled up this podcast with all kinds of bullshit.
Yes. Fill it to the brim. But yes, so Spielberg needs to get back on the horse.
Well, we've probably talked about this before on this podcast, even though we don't talk about movies a lot, but Spielberg is to be commended. Like generosity. No, but I mean, he makes all sorts of different kinds of movies.
Yeah.
You know?
And he makes them better than pretty much anybody else over the course of his career. Like, for, you know, the constant level of quality of them. He doesn't, you know, poop out a Black Dahlia every now and then, or an Alexander, like some other significant directors have.
Yeah, and I really liked AI, and a lot of people don't, but I loved it.
The movie kicks ass. I hate how people say that the end of that movie is, like, upbeat. I think the end of that movie is a total frickin' downer.
Oh, yeah, it's so upbeat when the human race is dead.
Yeah, the human race
is
dead.
Robots.
And this little robot boy gets to have, like, his one day with the mom character and then go to sleep forever. It's like, wow, yeah, that's a happy frickin' picture.
Well, the thing is, at the end, he dies, which means he's actually gained humanity at the end because he's allowed to die. I don't know what happens to Teddy. Now, Teddy was awesome.
Teddy's still rocking.
Teddy's like, fuck this noise. And he's like, going to go to like a different planet and impregnate all the women and make a planet of Teddy robots. That's a sequel.
Yes. That would rock.
Granted, it was a little too long at the end, but...
That kicks ass.
Well, like in The Terminal. I really like The Terminal. But it should have just ended with him walking out of the airport.
Yep, that should have ended right there.
You know, it wasn't too much longer, but...
Yeah, it was like maybe 5 minutes or something.
As soon as the movie kept going, I'm like, no, no!
Yeah.
I am truth!
Yeah, that just didn't make sense, because the whole movie was in the airport, and the whole point was him leaving the airport. He left the airport. So, let it go at that. Shoot the other shit and put it on the DVD as extra content or something, but, you know.
I really liked Catch Me If You Can. That movie is really good.
That's pretty good. Minority Report kicks ass. This thing, I mean, just look at that. In the last, like, 7 years, you know, he's made AI, Catch Me If You Can, Minority Report, The Terminal... War of the Worlds, which had the shit ending, but otherwise
Munich.
Was pretty cool. And then Munich freaking kicked
that.
Ass.
I've seen that.
I mean, who the hell else?
I know
has
it's
had
true.
A run like that. I mean, he's just churning them out these days too.
I mean, yeah, that's true. Most other directors kind of just get in a rut and like, I'll make 5 Swords and Sandals movies in a row, or I'll make 10 superhero movies in a row. Yeah,
yeah, Bryan Singer, anyone.
Oh, he's making that Tom Hanks Nazi movie. Not Tom Hanks.
Oh, the Cruise
Tom
one.
Cruise
Valkyrie.
Nazi She's a Valkyrie.
Now that one I will go and see in the theater.
Oh, of course you will. Oh, hell, I might even go see it.
I mean,
it's
called Valkyrie, for Christ's sakes, and it's got Tom in it. What more do you need?
And he's going to kill Hitler. He's going to fail, but he's going to try.
He's going to try.
Maybe. You never know.
Maybe he'll actually get him. Rewrite history, because it's written by the winners.
Get in there, Tom. Wow. Well, we haven't talked much about gaming at all, but that's okay.
That is okay.
So, are we ever going to make another movie?
I don't know.
Were you on
Who
the
was
other
that
day?
That said that...
Yeah, was that on Xbox Live?
That said... Yeah, it was. Vando, wasn't it? Or somebody?
Yeah, I said they watched Port Washington in English class or something?
Yeah, in some class, and that people wanted to see a Port Washington 2 or whatever, and then you were like, well, have them write me a check for $100,000 or whatever, and they'll make it.
And then we'll see what happens. You know, didn't we discuss a plot for it once, or...
Well, I know we've discussed one. I can't remember if we discussed it on the podcast or not. If we did, it was ages ago.
I don't think we've ever discussed it on the podcast, because we rarely talk about movies or our movies on the podcast. Yeah. Well, wasn't it... Oh, God.
What was it going to be? Port Washington 2, Sheboygan, The Revenge of Gus.
Well, no, that was the one we were talking about while we were making it.
Oh, did we have a different idea?
I don't know, maybe it was Dale and I came up with it. We actually did come up with a plot.
Because I know there was, like, the whole Lindbergh baby type plot.
Yes, the original sequel plot, which was kind of a joke while we were filming it, was...
But it could have worked.
Maybe. As in Port Washington 2, this is the first idea. By the way, I wouldn't make this for a... 10 swimming pools full of beer, by the way. Nothing. Anyway. It was going to be at, was it their wedding or something? Or the two main characters were going to have a baby. It was gonna
I don't think it was going to be at their wedding.
Yes. But it was going to be kidnapped by the lighthouse keeper, Gus.
Yeah.
And so it was going to be kind of like the Charles Lindbergh baby. And then Jones and I character, we have to like go rescue it or something.
Yep. And that's Gus was the one, the lighthouse keeper from the end of Port Washington. Yep. He was going to be the one that kidnapped the baby.
And Sheboygan is a town on the coast of Lake Michigan, north of Port Washington.
Yeah.
So it was Port Washington 2, Sheboygan.
And fun fact, that Port Washington was originally going to end with the wedding scene, but then we wound up whacking it because it was going to be too much of a pain in the ass to do, and all movies like that end with a wedding scene. So we said, screw it.
Of course, by not ending it with a wedding scene, there's a lot more you could do with the sequel.
Yes.
So I think it was Dale and I came up the idea we came up with, but I still won't do it.
Yeah, I remember you telling me you guys cooked up some, like,
yeah,
Dale had
to
a
be
good idea.
Ripped from today's headlines.
Well, that's the best way to do it.
Well, not really, but I think it was your character was going to become a complete, like, loser.
Yes! I can get behind this.
You're just going to be sitting around playing video games all day?
Wow! This is going to be a real stretch for me to get into this
but
character.
But you're, like, not married and you still have a shitty job and all this stuff, so it's not, like, real life.
Oh, okay, I've upgraded some aspects.
Yes, and, like, you'd have, like, a Ford Pinto and not a swell Vibe, 5-speed.
Well, I do have a shitty job, but I guess it pays, so...
Well, you know, in America, that's all that matters.
Yes.
Or anywhere, really. So the plot was... Oh, God, what was it? I have Derek and Michelle's characters... I team up with them to try to hook you up in it.
Okay.
But then along the way, they realize that that's what we did for them, and then it strains their relationship.
Oh, yes. That's right.
But they're like, well, did we really fall in love then? See, we actually kind of put some, like, kind of thematic thought into this.
Yeah.
That's about all the further we came, but that was basically how it was going to start.
Yeah.
And I'm
there's,
sure at
there's
the end,
a nugget of
some
truth
explosions.
There. Yes. Always have to have an explosion.
But
apparently.
I think that was pretty much... I mean, that would be pretty much just act one, what I just described, but...
Yeah.
It wouldn't be as cool as Squirrels, though.
Well, what would? Black Sheep sure as hell wasn't.
No. You know, I just... whenever there's a movie like that, they never live up to what they could be.
No.
I honestly think one of the best killer thing movies is Tremors.
Yeah. That's pretty fun.
Because everyone in it is really smart. There's a lot of guns. There's a lot of explosions. They actually kill more worms than people, which is a big thing that pisses me off in any of those movies. And, yeah.
That's what was cool about that Dawn of the Dead remake, too. I mean, it wasn't a killer, strange creature, but it was zombies, you know. But the characters were actually smart about how they did things. And they're like, oh, this person's infected. Well, we need to quarantine them and then probably kill them at some point because they're going to turn. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't just stupid like, oh, we'll just let them stay with us. They're going to be different from everybody else. And, you know, their blood will somehow counteract it and they won't turn into a zombie. You know, right. It's like they actually were smart about how they did things. Like that scene where the woman has the zombie baby.
Yeah.
And all that. And they're like, well, we got to kill it. You know, and all that. And it's like, damn, this is freaking cool. These people aren't stupid.
Yeah, that was a pretty good movie. We just watched that last week on Halloween.
Yeah, I was really impressed by that one. Like, Dale told me for quite a while, oh yeah, it was actually pretty good, and then for some reason I finally borrowed it from him and watched it, and it was like, yeah, shit, that was a good time. It's nice to see movies that, you know, the characters act in ways that you would expect that you would act yourself if you were put into those sorts of situations.
Right, and had the security mall guard who, like, completely abused his power.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, it definitely was a Bill Paxton-type role.
Apparently he was busy, though, doing something, probably drinking beers at James Cameron's. Yeah, I still think, you know, we've kind of batted that around before. We should just come up with some kind of small idea. Maybe even just do a short movie or, you know, something just to have that creative outlet, you know, or whatever. But
I do kind of miss it because it used to be my hobby, and then my hobby became my job, but not that hobby. So
yes.
So now my hobby is just playing video games, which is all right, but...
Yeah, like Basement the Movie could be a good time.
And the thing is, in a basement, what can really happen? Zombies?
Well, I know we talked about that at one time. Like, I mean, it would be a shitload of work. But remember when we briefly batted around the kind of Sin City idea, almost?
Oh, more Nazis and bullets.
Yeah, but we were going to film it all, like, green screen and shit. But, I mean, that would be a shit ton of work to do. But you could film everything in a controlled environment like the basement, and then you'd have to create... You know, or take pictures of environments.
I did do some tests for that.
Yeah.
It was going to be black and white.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think that kind of filmmaking has almost become kind of passe now, because they're talking about doing Gears of War that way. And I don't know, I'd kind of lean toward a basement or the woods.
Yeah.
Because squirrels, you know, squirrels is an ancient idea we've talked about since the dawn of time, which is 2000.
And it would be great if we had money.
I know. We're going to have flamethrowers and
animatronic squirrels and
lawnmowers.
Mother squirrels. And
mother squirrels. Then there's the other idea, Ever Kittens, which is basically squirrels with kittens.
Yes.
See, the thing about Ever Kittens is that it has a good MacGuffin. This this company, and I think we were going to have it be in Madison, weren't we?
I think so,
This company devises a way to make kittens or cats that remain kittens forever because everyone likes them when they're kittens, but then they turn into lazy fat cats. They have like a commercial like, did you used to love your cat but now it just lays around? Go to Ever Kittens and Ever Kittens lowercase, meet the pet of the future. And the plot was this company makes these Ever Kittens and there's like a test rollout and it's going to be in Madison. And Jones is like the hero in it. Like all these ideas we come up with. That's another problem with the Port Washington 2. I would refuse to be in it because remember we talked about doing Adventure 3 and I said I'd only do it if I die in the
like
first
right
five
in the
minutes.
Beginning, yeah.
Anyway, Ever Kittens, you're going to be on the rocks with your wife and to cheer her up you buy her an Ever Kitten. But then one day you come home and she's been viciously murdered and you're like the lead suspect. And you have to, like, start investigating and you realize it's the kittens because there's something wrong with them. So then all the Ever Kittens start running wild and killing everyone. And then the government comes in. Remember we were going to have soldiers pulling kittens out of little girls' arms and shooting them.
Ripped from today's headlines because they were doing that shit over in China where they were taking dogs away from people.
Oh, yeah, that's
like
right
while they were walking them down the street and stuff and shooting them right in front of the people.
I remember we were at, it was the Riverwalk Pub in the Wisconsin Dells when we came up with this. Were you there that night?
I don't think I was. I think I heard about Ever Kittens later on.
Oh, I can't remember who was there.
Not like Coffee Masters.
But anyway, at the end, since it's basically the squirrel movie with kittens, they're in this building, and they hear like... It's like, oh, I don't like the sound of that. It's like, we had to isolate the gene to keep the kittens from growing. This is a scientist saying this. We found the gene to make them keep growing first. It's like, it's like this huge, like, I guess you could call it a house cat, because it'd be like a cat the size of a house.
Mother kitten.
Yes, because in squirrels we had a mother squirrel at the end.
Yes, so you always have to have a mother something in these movies. So,
yeah, so every movie idea we come up with involves the word hunter, usually, yeah. And there's a giant creature at the end of it.
God, that's right, there was Mystery Hunter.
Yep.
With the mechanical computer was going to be in there.
It was some Mystery Hunter versus the Doomsday Alchemist.
Yep. But, like, I mean, a Harry Potter title.
That was, again, that was back in, like, 2002.
Yeah.
See, most of those ideas we came up with, like,
while we were doing Port Washington. Because we had to take our mind off Port Washington somehow. Yep.
I think the problem with Mystery Hunter is that they found all these mummy movies and shit like Van Helsing. So something like that. I think anything that has, like, anachronistic technology in a time period, people don't like. You know, like Wild Wild West, Van Helsing.
Yeah.
Things like that. So I don't... The movie I still would get behind is The Kings and Queens of Karaoke. Do you remember when we were filming in the lighthouse set, and I was describing that? And
Michelle was like, I want to be in that
movie. No, the first thing she said was, that's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. Yeah.
But then after she saw Fort Washington
after
and
she saw
finished
the rough
form
cut,
or whatever.
She's like, She's like, you're going to do another movie? And I'm like, no.
Game over.
But anyway, Kings and Queens of Karaoke, for lack of a better way to say it, it's Dirty Dancing with Karaoke. That's the movie
Bruce Campbell.
Yep, Bruce Campbell as a washed-up 1980s singer. Now that would be one hell of a movie.
That would be something. And then, I remember, like, for Adventure 3, we came up with, like, all, like, it was going to be, like, Adventure Inc., where they actually formed this company, and then, of course, I would be in it now, so that would, somehow I joined this company or something, and you got killed off right away.
Is it either killed or kidnapped?
Yeah, we were going to have the whole Tesla plot in there, because we wound up, like, blending movies together, because it was going to be, like, more Nazis than bullets.
Oh, wasn't that the one it was going to
start in the
1940s?
Hotel. Yeah, it was going to start in the hotel where Tesla died or whatever, and the Nazis are there trying to find the
death
ray plans.
And what did they say to him?
What did he say?
No, what do the Nazis say when they go in there and talk to Nikola Tesla, remember? The big line. You're going to kick yourself. Guten Tag,
Tesla.
That's going to be the beginning of the movie. And obviously, gold.
That's right.
And then he was going to hide the location of his death ray in a wire and a radio or something?
Yeah, and it was like, then we figured out that something with his niece and that she was in danger or something, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was like going to be this farmhouse scene.
Yep.
And we were going to film, we were going to be all like hardcore and it was going to be like Steadicam.
Yeah, like one shot for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, where it was...
We actually talked about that quite a bit. There's like a cornfield.
Cornfield and all that, and we were going to try to film it with like minimal lighting and all sorts of crap, you know, to really make it creepy.
Oh, don't we always do that?
But, you know, to try to get the creepy factor in there. She was going to be like in this house alone, you know, in the middle of the countryside, this big farm or whatever, and then the Nazis come for her or whatever, and I think she's going to be, like, taking a bath or getting ready to take a bath or something.
Yeah, she was going to crawl on the roof, wasn't she?
Yeah, and eventually get out that way, but the camera was, like, going to follow her, like, all the way out and down into the cornfield and all this crap, and I remember we had some kind of... We had that fleshed out a bit, like, the beginning, kind of the Act 1 stuff of that we fleshed out fairly well, because then we came up with the whole radio thing that she had with this wire that he had stored the death ray information on or something.
Oh, yeah, that's because, prior to World War II, recordings were made on wires quite often before magnetic tape or, of course, wax cylinders, but Tesla wouldn't have anything to do with a wax cylinder because those were Edison's.
Yes, and there's, like, and we based it all off of because of, like, Tesla, and Ben's, like, a big Tesla fan, and it's a neat story, some of the stuff he came up with, and there was, like, this whole thing where he was supposedly working on this death ray or whatever, and like it was supposed to be able to like pretty much end all wars was the idea. Because,
just like the nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
And the machine gun.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go on.
Because you could like point this thing at like a squadron of airplanes or whatever from like, what, a couple hundred miles away and blow them out of the sky and...
Yeah.
All this crazy stuff that you could supposedly do with this thing.
And according to the legends, he tried to sell it to the United States government in 1943, and then he died 3 days later in his hotel or something.
Yeah.
During World War II. So, I mean, it's a pretty good way to start a movie, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a neat story and got some history to it.
Well, the other idea that I actually really like... I don't know. I mean, if I could do any of them, I know I like the karaoke one, but the other one I really like was the Jack Kirby Alien Hunter.
Alien Hunter!
And Alien Hunter actually started as an Adventure 3 plot.
Yeah.
It was something like Dale and I were discussing it. I remember it was at Old Finley's in Richmond Center at a bar, of course. The same bar where we came up with the plot for Lizard of Death. Anyway, it was like, I don't know, we had some gags in mind for Adventure 3. This is probably like 2003 or something. Anyway, it kind of turned into a movie about a guy going around hunting aliens, hence
Alien Hunter.
And we actually had a lot of that fleshed out.
Yeah.
Because it also starts at a farmhouse in the middle of the night. But it, basically these aliens are going around trying to impregnate women to make the perfect human-alien hybrid.
Yeah, it's like all these supermodels and stuff, kind of.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, didn't we have it? Oh, yeah, and then
because there's a part where he's in prison later on,
right.
All this stuff, yeah.
The thing I liked about that movie is we could do a lot of, like, interesting social commentary.
Yeah.
Like these aliens, like, the big-headed, gray, big eyes ones, they're coming down, like, having their way with women and mutilating cattle and whatnot, which, you know, people think is going on. And the government doesn't care, or they're in on it, and basically you're pissed off, and someone pays you to do this, but not very well, because you drive around like a shitty 1981
like
Trans Am,
yeah,
Bondo. And what was it? One of the things we changed was there was going to be a alien activist group like PETA,
yeah,
but or it'd be like PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Aliens,
yeah.
And we were going to have. I remember telling you that your wife would actually be really good for that character, like someone who's like, you know, aliens are people too, blah 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 blah. But it turns out, wasn't it? She's like the most direct descendant of some ancient alien race, blah blah blah. So she's the one they're trying to impregnate, basically.
Okay, I don't know if I ever heard that, but
I think it was something
that could be interesting.
Well, the thing is, it's good to have a character like that
that you can turn the tables on,
right? And then, but see, the thing is, like, to just pull in another character near the end of the movie, you don't have anything invested in them.
Yeah.
So then you were going to be on talk. Of course, it was going to be starring Jason Jones again. He was going to be like on talk shows debating aliens and. You know, like, there's too many aliens coming to Earth and whatnot. It's like, what should we do? Put a wall around the planet? And like, well, maybe that's something we should be looking at. You know, we could touch on, like, illegal immigration and stuff.
Yeah.
And you could even touch on abortion if you wanted to with the alien babies. That's probably kind of touchy. But the gag at the end of it was at some point, Jones and the main woman get captured. And actually, another idea I had up was that probably at the end of Act 2, you get captured and taken to the, you know how the aliens allegedly have a base on the other side of the moon? It's
yes.
Called a Luna base.
Yeah.
This is conspiracy theory stuff, but just throw every conspiracy theory in the kitchen sink into this,
oh,
you know?
Oh, yeah, why not?
Atlantis, aliens on the moon, JFK. So anyway, the main guy and girl get captured, and the aliens have figured out that she's like the perfect person to create their alien-human hybrid to take over the world or the universe or whatever. So they rig it. Basically, we have the love scene. We rig it so they, you know, they get Alien Hunter and her, you know, they're in prison and they're all, you know, captive and whatnot. So, you know, they get in there. And they've secretly implanted you with the alien seed, and that's how they get her knocked up.
Oh.
I thought of that as an idea.
Yeah.
You know, because you guys had the end of Act 2 love scene. Then, of course, all hell breaks loose. Anyway, the main gag with that movie was, you know how it is.
Oh, yes.
They get back to her. And everything's all hunky-dory, but when she delivers the baby, it's this alien baby. And the doctor's like, Jesus! And he drops it on the floor.
And then it goes,
wasn't it going to be like half baby, half alien, half Stitch from Lilo and Stitch, and half squirrel.
That's a lot of halves.
So anyway, there's a big action sequence with a baby dragging around the mother by the umbilical cord in the hospital.
Yeah.
During an action sequence fighting you. And, and then eventually, and finally goes out to the railroad tracks to cut the cord, a la The Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
Wasn't there going to be something with a... where it eats a baby, too, while it's in the hospital?
Yeah, I was going to go right from the delivery room to, like, the room where all the babies are.
Yeah, and it was going to eat a baby's leg.
I was going to have a leg and be like, and then you'd be like, oh, that's it. And then you open up on it. I don't know if that would happen, but, I mean, that would be a great sequence. Because you could do gags like the elevator and the umbilical cord, and you could be trying to shoot the umbilical cord loose, and that would be such an awesome sequence. And then I think the thing was it was going to go out to a... It gets on a train, and it uses that to cut the umbilical cord, then you get on the train, and the train is going to go to a coal plant, so you can have like a fight with it on a coal conveyor belt, and then it finally goes into a furnace and dies, Terminator style.
That's right.
So we had that fairly fleshed out, actually.
Yeah.
When there's going to be the UFO, we're going to have a UFO chasing you and the Trans Am down the freeway.
Yeah, that was going to be cool. And I don't know how the hell we'd do it, but it was going
to
be cool.
And it shoots its beam at you to, like, its...
kind of like tractor beam almost.
Teleporter beam, and it keeps on missing you and hitting other cars. And it pulls them in, and then it kind of shits them out the back of the UFO because they're the wrong car. And then I think at the end of that is where you get captured and... But the aliens are going to be all, like, gelatinous. You know, you can, like, punch right through them. And pretty much their only defense is telekinesis. But you had a plate in your head from the war. You don't say which war. I suppose now it could be the Iraq war. But you have a plate in your head from the war. I'm doing the quotes. And that makes you immune to the telekinesis. And
yeah, that's right. A lot of our ideas had the freeway chase scene, too.
Like Heart Attack did.
Yep. That's one that I won't even talk about the plot, because I think that one's good enough that if you guys would write that, or if Dale would write it, because it's like his idea, I mean, that's good enough that I could see Hollywood actually making that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty damn good idea for a movie, I think, so.
Well, yes, it's kind of similar to, actually, something they did in Shoot 'Em Up, but...
Yes. I still have to see that movie.
Yeah, it's all right. It's worth seeing once, which is about all I can say for any movie. Clive Owen shoots an umbilical cord when he delivers a baby. He was like...
I heard he, like, shoots everything while doing everything in the movie. Like, there's some scene where he's having sex with Monica Bellucci and shooting people and...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Falling through the air, shooting people.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a sex / action scene before.
Well, at least Clive was the one that got to do it. Because he is an animal.
Well, we've gone up to an hour, spending most of our time talking about movies. Oh, well.
Wow, that was pretty quick.
Yeah. So, which of the movie ideas did you like? Psst, Alien Hunter.
I always liked anything that had the Tesla stuff in it, because I'm like a sucker for movies that are, you know, based in some sort of historical... fact, or at least, you know, nugget of historical data.
Really?
I think it's kind of cool because it kind of helps ground the movie to a certain extent.
You start in reality and then you get into
Yep, then you just go off in your own directions. You know, kind of like how, like, National Treasure, you know, they kind of played around with that whole idea, you know.
Oh, you're going to go see National Treasure 2, I bet.
Damn straight I am.
So there's another movie you're going to see this fall.
Yeah.
I Gotta Find the Bag of Secrets.
You can't go wrong with Nick Cage.
Would you say Angelina Jolie's dad is in almost as many movies as she is these days?
If not more.
Because he was in...
It's like him and Christopher Plummer are in, like, goddamn everything where they need an old dude to show up.
Christopher Plummer?
Yeah. Because he was in, like, Alexander and The Insider and, I can't remember if he was in Troy, too, or not, but...
That was Peter O'Toole.
Yeah, O'Toole was in that. I couldn't remember if he was in there, too.
Christopher Plummer's a fair shake older than John Voight, though.
Yeah, but then he was in Inside Man. I don't know, he seems to show up in a lot of stuff, too.
Star Trek VI.
Well, that was a while ago, but...
The Sound of Music.
That was even further ago. But yes, he was in there. Yeah, I liked Alien Hunter, too. I think that could be fun. But I'd have to go with, like, the More Nazis Than Bullets / Adventure, Inc.
It would be fun to do something with a lot of, like, special effects, gags, shooting, car chases, explosions, throwing people through walls. We've got to do that. Flip a car.
Yeah,
we got to
flip a car. Yeah. And I just love the title, More Nazis Than Bullets. I've always just, since you told me that was like your idea for a video game or something a long time ago, I've just always loved that title. It's
oh,
like,
that was my Extreme Snowboarding / Fighting Nazis in Peru video game. Now that would have been one hell of a game.
Fighting the boys from Brazil.
Well, that was the Nazis were going to land in Peru in modern day, and since every video game has to end with mutant creatures, they were going to reanimate the Peruvian Ice Maidens into an unstoppable army of zombies. Yeah, it was going to be like a massive, well, not a massive multiplayer, but like a big open world mountain.
Yeah.
And you were going to have this snowboard, so it was going to be like basically SSS Tricky meets Medal of Honor meets Far Cry. And you ride around the snowboard, and you have all your guns stored in it, so you like pull them out, and you shoot Nazis, and you put them back in your snowboard, and I think there's going to be one sequence where a sled dog team is pulling a bomb down a hill toward a resort filled with a bunch of people.
What the hell is a sled dog team doing in Peru? I suppose they have mountains there. But
So we can reanimate Peruvian Ice Maidens, but we can't have sled dogs.
Damn straight.
Anyway,
I got to draw the line.
So the sled dogs are like pulling. Remember, this is supposed to be like a kind of a parody of a video game. The sled dogs are pulling this bomb, this Nazi, you know, whipping them down the trail, and you've got to like surf beside them or ski on your snowboard, and you have to like shoot the dogs. And then they start blinking like any video game,
yes.
And then they explode. And you basically have to like shoot them all, kind of like centipede, before they reach the base. So that was the original Nazis and Bullets, Bullets idea. But then it turned into a 1940s detective movie.
Yes.
All right, well, we should let you go, but...
All right, good times. I guess we'll probably have topics next time or something, but...
All right, well, feel free to discuss our movie ideas in the topics, or I'm sorry, in the comments, but we probably won't make any of them. Until next time.
Adios.